Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter. And it's Thursday, June 1st, and I'm back. I've been gone a while, right? About 2.5 weeks of this show. I just got back. I didn't get back yesterday. I got back late Tuesday night, technically Wednesday morning. So I didn't want to wake up and do a show on, the morning after I get back, especially with the 3-hour time change. I'm up at whatever time and couldn't go to sleep last night until like 2 a.m. So who the hell knows what the hell is going on? So I wanted to have a day of adjustment. But now I'm back. I'm back. I see you guys in the YouTube chat, right? Wattuz is here, of course, here early. He's been waiting. Wattuz has been waiting for 2.5 weeks. He's probably been sitting there, right? Well, the thumbnail, the stream thumbnail has only been up for the past like 24 hours or so, but he could have been sitting on the YouTube subscription screen going, when is it coming out? When's the next live show? DFix here. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back, Kevin. Welcome back to you people. Real Life Pitcher says we missed you. I don't know. Did you really miss me? I don't think anyone missed me. Did anyone miss me? I saw something in the Roto Grinders chat or in the Discord that people were just, they're not getting enough of the play whoever they want type of stuff, right? Oh my God, 2.5 weeks without me telling you to do nothing, essentially, right? It's all math, it's all luck and good luck, right? Don't make mistakes and have fun, right? Variance and whatever the hell it is, especially in baseball, right? In MLB, I don't know what's been happening in MLB the past 2.5 weeks. I have no idea. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I went on an Alaskan cruise. I was if you follow me on Twitter, I posted a ton of photos. So you know, go Blender HD on Twitter. You know exactly what the hell is going on. Right? Posted some nice stuff. Oh, here's some mountains. Right? Here's a glacier. There's some icebergs. Right? Here's a whatever. Here's a lumberjack show. I went to a lumberjack show. Right? It's not much as much. And then you eat a bunch. That's about it. That's about it. DFix says May was my best month ever, but tailed off when you abandoned us. Oh, it's my fault. It's my fault. Oh, you forgot everything. Once I leave, it's like, I forget everything. Now you're just going to go by your gut, right? You're like, I think Vinny Pascantino is going to hit a home run, so I'm just going to play him in 96% of my lineup. Is that what happened? You didn't build based on lineups. You built based on players. Shame on you. Shame on you for caring about players. It's all about lineups. We all know that. Me, Sports Fan 101, unfortunate to hear about your king of the pitch. Yeah. After the last cruise, I went to Las Vegas. Right, we went directly from Seattle, and went to 5 wrestling shows. Went to some events, did some other stuff. We'll talk about. Had to enter my king of the pitch lineups, my 4 king of the pitch lineups, on Sunday morning at by 8:30 in the morning. I got up an hour and a half early. I was good, right? And had probably the worst performance. Right, when the chalk gets there, that's going to be a problem. It's gonna be a damn problem. So the king of the pitch, I wouldn't have changed my strategy. It's not like it was a Vegas thing. It's like I made my lineups on the casino floor, essentially by the slot machines, early in the morning. Right, just went downstairs, made them on my phone. I mean, I looked at some projections here at Roto Grinders on my phone. I mean, I was checking out all the starting lineups and everything in SofaScore, but for the most part, in soccer. Especially on the last day of the season, a lot of times, oftentimes, games tend to get out of hand because a lot of teams have nothing to play for, right? People, they have nothing to play for. They're not going to do anything. It's like defensively, a lot of times, it's like when a team goes up 2-0, the defense is like, we don't care anymore. Doesn't matter if we win or lose, right? So sometimes 2-0 games turn into 5-0 games. So because of that, I had a heavy stacking strategy that essentially I was going to get it, take 2, 3, 4 players from a team and just combine it with 2, 3, 4 players from another team, right? Just 2 teams. Okay, give me the 2 teams that score the most, and they're the most likely culprits of that, and hopefully I'll get the 2, 5-0, 6-0, 6-1, 4, there was a 4-4 game, right? Liverpool, Southampton, get something like that. Hopefully it's not the substitutes, right? That's what I did, but Arsenal was the biggest favorite, and of course they put up like 5 goals. Right, Lewis Hall, the 18-year-old fullback for that's a midfield eligible on DraftKings, he put up like 18 points at like 30% owned. Right, and he's someone I didn't play in any of my 4 lineups. And then said Kostakis Tsimikas coming out in the 57th minute for Liverpool. I mean, he was the most owned player I think in the King of the Pitch. He only scored like 4.5 points. That wasn't that big of a deal. But then What there was a defender that scored. There was a very popular defender that scored. Oh, Pedro Porro scored a goal for Tottenham. He was one of the highest owned players. Yeah, the chalk, Porro, Hall, whatever. And me stacking, Crystal Palace plus Aston Villa. I stacked Arsenal with some other team or whatever. I just 2v2 type of stacks, and couldn't get there. Didn't have the right pieces. Didn't play Lewis Hall. I played Pedro Porro in my Tottenham lineup, right? I played Porro and Kulishevsky, who didn't do anything, and Harry Kane. And of course, Kane was like 37% at forwards, and he scored 2 goals, so or 25 points or something like that. So, would I have changed anything? No, I mean, no. I approached it. If I got the 2 right teams, I would have won. I just didn't, right? If I would have played Tottenham plus Arsenal, right? Somehow, right? Get Jesus plus Kane plus Porro. Granted, Xhaka, I mean, no one played him, so it didn't matter, really. So, whatever. I don't know if anyone knows what the hell I'm even talking about now when it comes to soccer DFS, right? All you had to do is pretty much stay. If you stacked everyone in Arsenal other than Martin Odegaard, you did great. Right? I don't think Odegaard did much. Right, if you start Trossard, Saka, the whole front line, Trossard, Saka, and Jesus, and Xhaka, you win. You win 200-person contest. You're done. And I did play a Saka Jesus lineup, but not with Leicester. Or did I have Leicester? I don't know. Who knows? No, I think that was my Villa lineup. Right, Ollie Watkins and John McGinn and Lucas Dean in that lineup, I believe. I don't remember. I didn't even come in the top 100. Right, worst performance, right? This is my seventh time in the King of the Pitch. I've come in second before. I've come in third before. Never not come in the top half of the contest. Right. So in the past, sometimes it's been only 100 people or 150. But I think my best lineup was like 106th place or something. So whatever. And then Moneyball, not our Moneyball. It's Moneybod 11, who's a regular in soccer, in the soccer lobby on DraftKings. He took down six of the top 10 spots. Because essentially he played an Arsenal stack with a 2v2 in like every one of his lineups. Like his lineups all look pretty much the same. Just Arsenal with the 2v2. That's it. So of course, when you have the entire Arsenal front line and they score combined like 78 points, like it's not that hard to get up there, especially with like seven different lineups. Oh, whatever. Hit any good cash games in Vegas for Defect? This is kind of just a review episode. This is just like a what's been happening, hanging out with the chat type of episode. Right, I don't know if there's going to be a title. There's not going to even be a title. I don't think. Steve left. Steve has a car appointment. So now I have to end the show. Hopefully I press the right button and end the show. If I have to roll the credits or something and end the, who knows? Who knows if I'm going to do that right. And he could cash games in Vegas. I only played poker for like 4 hours. I lost $75 playing at 2-3. Was it 2-3? Something like that. I played at the Horseshoe. I played for 4 hours. And on Thursday, we had time in between going to a show or going whatever, and the game sucked pretty much, right? Didn't really get dealt much or whatever. Yeah, it seems like the games in Las Vegas, it's true that a lot of people say that the regs that play in Las Vegas, like there's not much action, right? Well, I mean, I don't know where you probably Bellagio on the weekends or something, you know, something like that. You get some splashers. And I'm not saying you can't exploit those types of regs. It's just that it's just not as profitable. They aren't making as much mistakes, especially when we're not playing. Like, these aren't games. I'm used to Caesar Southern Indiana where you could raise and get four callers, right? Every hand. This is a game where a lot of times it's button versus blind, button versus blind, button versus blind, cutoff versus blind. Not as much limping, right? So it's like not a lot of people aren't making the major mistakes originally. They may play poorly post-flop, but it's hard to make up the fact I can't just go in 9-6 offsuit and try to, you know, outplay people with some inferior starting hands when they're not, especially in a blind structure where it doesn't really even incentivize that you'd even, you know, win that much money stealing the blinds. So no, I didn't have time to play poker. I thought I was going to, but I just didn't have any time. Like zero time. We got there Tuesday afternoon. What did we do Tuesday? I don't even remember what we did Tuesday. We're tired from the cruise, so I don't know. I guess we did nothing. Wednesday was Dynamite. Thursday was we went to a wrestling show every day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then on Friday, I'll talk about Friday. On Friday, I went to DraftKings office in Las Vegas. Ooh! Went to the draft, they have an office in the South, whatever. We had to take an Uber 20 minutes to get a tour of the offices. We got a little tour, right? Because that's when you're a big game, when you're a big mock like me. I'm not even a high roller. No, I mean, from my time on the VIP whatever committee, the Voice of the Player committee, that doesn't exist anymore. That was like for 4 years. It was essentially a glorified focus group. They would just test stuff on us, essentially. It's like, oh, yeah, test this thing. And we go, wow. Everyone in the group is like, this thing sucks. And like, well, thanks, we're doing it anyway. That's essentially what the VOP committee was. But because of that, you know, I still keep in touch with the people that oversaw that. And one of them lives in Las Vegas. So every time I go to Las Vegas, the Valley's the past 2 years, I say, hey, let's go grab something to eat or something. Go get lunch or breakfast or something. They said, come to the office. Come to the office. The new Las Vegas office. Only been open for like 3 months. I mean, they've been in Las Vegas, but that specific office. So I went out and they had a coffee machine there. They had, saw they had four floors or whatever. See their little campus. Talk to some people. And it's most, and that Las Vegas office, it's sportsbook operations. There's no DFS stuff there. There's some DraftKings casino, right? The casino product, I guess they'd have, but it's mostly sportsbook operations. So I was able to go in and basically see empty offices. It was a Friday afternoon on Memorial Day weekend. It seemed like everyone wanted to get the hell out of there. They go in there. Does anyone run anything in this company? You just see empty, just space. All these desks with no computers on it. Go. Does anyone work here? You're on a different floor. You're on a second floor. Is there, hello? Echo. Anyone? Is there anyone here? There's like two people here. Then got to see the trading floor, the sports betting trading, the trading floor. That's not all it's cracked up to be. It's just a room with computers. That's all it is. That's it. A bunch of people sitting on computers looking at like six screens or whatever, and they hold different windows up. I couldn't even get close to the computers, right? They wouldn't even allow me to. It's like I could look back from afar, but I couldn't. They won't get it, so I could see exactly what's on their screens and stuff like that. I could see kind of blurry. I see the stuffs on the screen. I could see, you know, like there's like odd screens and different that things blinking and whatever like that. And then I talk to like a trader. I talk to, you know, people, ask questions and stuff. Of course, before as we entered the campus, me and my wife had to digitally sign like essentially an end. There's anything that you see here. Shut up. I mean, essentially, that's what it was. So, unfortunately, I can't tell you what anyone told me. Although, there's nothing, I didn't learn anything that is worth this shit, right? That is worth anything. There's nothing. There's nothing at all. I asked a whole bunch of questions, and they geared around limiting, right? My whole spiel. With the sports book limiting sharp bettors or any bettors is more just consumer equality. The fact that they limit people, that any sports book limits people, they're a private business. Go for it. I think the sharp betting model is better, but of course you have to offer a less menu of offerings. Can't offer 30,000 markets and not get killed without like limiting people. I get it. You got to play defense. It's adverse selection. Circa could do it because they're not offering like 7,000 markets. Sure. I get it. And if they want to limit, if they want to say, okay, we're going to limit you to $2, like that's perfectly fine. Right? I prefer they didn't, but that's fine. But I don't understand how two people could stand next to each other on the phone. And one person goes places a bet on like an efficient market. Let's say it's an hour before an NFL game on a Sunday, right? There's no edge there, right? When is there an edge? An hour before and 1 o'clock on a Sunday? I want to bet Falcons plus an 8.5 efficiently. Now I'm not talking about on Monday. I'm talking about like 5 minutes to game time. I want to bet on the total. I want to bet that game at 44 over whatever. And someone like me, who maybe I'm, picking off some MLB props here, taking the NBA playoff something there, I'm picking and choosing, I'm getting some CLV. And I go, it's like, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to bet $1,000 on the Falcons. On this efficient line, it's just like, there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to take $1,000 in liquidity from anyone. On an efficient line, 5 minutes before game time. So I go and I press $1,000, and it says that we could give you $27 now, and we could send the rest to get approved. And then it gets sent, and it's like, you're only approved for $180 or something like that. The person standing next to me who may have just set up an account, I don't know, maybe bets once in a while. Who knows? It doesn't even matter. They go to put $1,000 bet in, it goes right through. No approval process, no nothing. Just thought about $1,000 Falcons plus 8.5. It's the same money. Right? Why am I limited to $27 or 100 and whatever dollars or whatever the hell it is? For the same bet. It's the same market. It's the same, literally the same market. It's the same thing. I'm walking to Best Buy and it's like, okay, how much is this TV? Oh, well, you're smart. You're smart. You know the price of TV. So, you know, the right price should be like $350 for this TV. We're gonna charge you $370. So it's $370 for this television. You're not gonna find a better deal, pretty much. The next person standing next to me who doesn't know anything about the price of televisions, have no concept of even anchoring. They go to that guy and they say it's $600. And the guy goes, okay, give me that TV for $600. To me, that's how I view it. It's just like the market is the market. Like if we just changed our, if we just hit the usernames, why can't you take $1,000 on an NFL game? We're not talking about Bulgarian ping pong. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, you know, Australian rules football, Division III, college level, you know, the park somewhere in Sydney or something. I'm not talking about little stuff. I'm talking about major markets. Why is it that, why am I limited to that? I can understand if you're like, okay, we'll let you do $1,000 on that, but we'll only limit you to $8 on MLB props because we see that you're killing it. Okay, that's fine. Also, I mean, that's fine. I prefer it's not. I don't think that's the right model, but it's there. They could do it. So what if I'm betting MLB props and beating you, right? And you're now limiting me to like $30 on an MLB prop. When I was getting hundreds of dollars off, $200, $300, $400 off before. Why can't I go to college football or something, or like something that I have not proven to be, you know, to be, you know, beating you with, beating you to the market? Like, why am I limited there? Is that a technology thing? Is that just pressing a button, limit across the board? Which is fine if they do. I mean, they're losing business because of it. Like, I don't have an edge in that. So I don't know why you aren't taking 10 grand from me in those markets. The thing is that if you're going to offer a bet, you have to offer the same bet to multiple people. The $1,000 in liquidity on that NFL bet, does it matter who it comes from? That is my biggest complaint when it comes to limiting. And apparently there's an answer to it, to why. It's a prioritization issue, which makes sense. Doesn't mean I like it, but it makes sense. So that's why, like, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I was told, but from a prioritization, think in terms of I stayed at the Horseshoe. And because I play at Caesars Southern Indiana for poker, I've built up enough tier credits that I'm Diamond, which is like their second highest level. Well, there's Diamond Plus, Diamond Elite, or whatever. But once you get up to Diamond, you get your special line, right? You get guaranteed reservations at like restaurants and stuff. You get to like that point, right? I'm just over the line at Diamond. Like when we went to the Horseshoe, when we checked in, there was like a line of like 80 people to check in to these kiosks, right? You couldn't even talk to a person. It's just people lining up for like, there's 80 people online. There's only 6 kiosks available. But then there's also this little short line and a door that says Diamond and 7 Stars only. So I'm like, I'm Diamond. So me and my wife just walk through the door, right? There's no little line in front. Walk through the door. There's no one in there. Right. And there's 2 people at the dead at nice end. There's couches in there and everything. I go up and I said, you know, here's my reservation. Oh, welcome to the wild. They treat me so I don't have to deal with a kiosk. What makes me different from the people online? I'm getting the same room, or they're getting the same room as me. I'm not getting anything special, just a normal room. It's an issue of prioritization. Same room, treat you a little bit differently. Right. Diamond, I had a problem with the room. And we woke up one morning, the air conditioner broke, right? The fan was on, but no cold air. We woke up, it was 85 degrees in the room. So I went all the way. So I went all the way down, and I went into the Diamond Seven Stars and said, "What the fuck?" And they got us a new room. Now, could anyone at the hotel do that? Of course. But when you sit down at a blackjack table, craps table, if you're a Diamond Seven Stars versus just a random schmo, they're gonna treat you differently. You get better deals. Right at the poker room, technically. If you're seven stars, not diamond, but if you're seven stars, your name goes to the top of any list. If you want to play whatever the hell, 4-8 limit, whatever. You're seven stars, you say your name, you know, oh, okay, you're at the top of line. There could be 16 people on the list. You're gonna be at the top. So that's that to me, like that's essentially what is being portrayed. Is it being done correctly? I don't think so. I think a lot of it is BS. Basically meaning that, like, if they look at my profile, right? My betting profile, and I've been for 2 years beating them up on little MLB props and NBA props and, you know, not things that are extremely off, you know, MMA. Like, it's like, oh, you're really good at finding the holes. So if you want to, yeah, I know that. Yeah, they're like, I know the $1,000 is like, you don't have an edge on that. But we only want to take X amount of liquidity on this game or on this side. So we have X amount of liquidity available. Who are we going to give the liquidity to? Well, they're going to prioritize people that don't use their money to pick apart the other stuff in their book. Given the choice. If there's enough liquidity available, supposedly, that would be fun. Then, okay, feel free. Here's $1,000. There's the bet. So that's what's being portrayed. Is it being done correctly? No, I don't think so. Are they communicating any of that? No, of course not. But at least it makes some type of sense. There's some type of logic to it. Like, if I'm beating someone up on little bets here and there, props or whatever, I go, I want to put 50 grand on this efficient market. And they're like, well, we really only want to take 50 grand more on this game. Do we give it all to you, Jordan? Or do we give it all? We see some bets coming. Here's $1,000 here. Here's 2,000 there. Here's 5,000 there. And they take a look at those customers, and those customers are idiots. They're like, well, we want to appease the idiots, right? We don't want someone that could easily have a minus 10, minus 12%, you know, ROI, negative edge, and be like, nope, we can't take your $5,000 bet. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to go somewhere else. I'm just going where the holes are. I have no care in the world where I go, as long as they got holes there. So why are they going to give me the liquidity? At least that makes sense. It does. Is it done properly technology-wise? I don't think so. I think there's so many faults. I think there's so many people that have been limited on bets that shouldn't have been. There are people that are losing sports bettors. They accidentally get CLV a couple of times, and next thing you know, I can only bet $37 on this. Like, they're horrible. They're horrible. So, but they're going to spend a ton on marketing and then hopefully get as many losers as possible. I mean, to me, that's not a good look. Me, Sports Fan 101 says, what about the books offering minus 115 on both sides or even minus 120? Well, caveat emptor. Dude, people are dumb. Right? We may look at that as predatory, but people are dumb. Minus 120 on both sides? Who the hell's betting on that? That hold is ridiculous. Yeah, but 99% of the people that bet are not price sensitive. They don't understand that. They don't care. They don't care. Do you get it? They don't. They just go, who's going to win? Does it matter if it's minus 115 or minus 120? Does it matter if it's minus 110 or minus 125? I'm betting on the Falcons. Doesn't matter what the number is. Look, I went to Las Vegas. I mean, on the cruise, the 6-5 blackjack. I didn't realize Las Vegas has 6-5 blackjack on $25 tables. The blackjack only pays 6-5 in Las Vegas at $25. And people at the tables are full. Used to be 3-2. Well, now it's 6-5. Who cares? What does it matter? What does it matter? It's a couple of bucks here. Who cares? I'm not going to stop. No. People are dumb. People are dumb. They don't know any better. This triple zero roulette now in Las Vegas. I saw it on the roulette wheel. Triple zero. And there's still people playing as if there's no, oh, who cares? It's just an extra, it's just one slot. Yeah, but are they paying any differently? No. Okay, so now it's 7.5%, you know, negative EV compared to 5.25%. Oh, what's a percent here and there? These are the people you're dealing with.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So what do you expect? What do you expect the businesses to do? Take our Best Buy example. You know, you go to Best Buy and they have a TV that is $350, should be $350. You can go on Amazon and get it for $350 and they're charging $600. And you go, wow, $600 for this TV? Well, that's, who the hell's going to buy it for $600? I mean, within like 1 second on Google, I could find out that this TV is the $349.99 on Amazon. And maybe it's $379 at Walmart. And maybe it's $369 at Target. Maybe it's $389 at Best Buy. And you're charging $600 for it? And you know what they'll tell me? It's like, look, we got a line at the door for them. And you see people coming in, looking, going, I want that TV. Here's $600. I want that TV. So here's $600. I want, so... Who's to say? You can't sell it for $600? There's people buying it. There's people buying it. So if they could offer these like SGPs with 38% holds and people don't care and they're buying more of it, then what am I supposed to do? The only thing that I can do is get on YouTube and try to educate people. Say, hey, if you want a sports bet and you don't even want to do math, just find the lowest synthetic hold markets. That's it. If you want a little action, you're on tonight's game of anything, you're going to the game, you're watching the game, it's 7 o'clock, you're watching the whatever, baseball, the Cincinnati Reds. And you're like, I want a little skin in the game. I want to put $20 down on something. Go to scoresandodds.com. Take a look at the odds screen. Have accounts on multiple sports books and just find a market that is the lowest hold synthetically. So maybe there's something that minus 102 on one side and plus 120 on the other side on a different book. And you go, well, whichever side you want to bet on. I feel like Hunter Green's going to throw 700 strikeouts. So you do that. And there you go. You'll lose the least amount of money. But then you have people that it's like you show over under Hunter Green strikeouts at 7.5, -122 over, +120 under. And there's someone that's going on whatever. They're going on PointsBet or they're going on BetMGM or whoever. They're betting the over on at -145. Or they're betting the under at -110. Like you just can't win that way in the long run. But the books know that, you know, as long as you can predict the outcome, it's like, yay! I placed my $22 and I got $20. Instead of playing your $22 and getting $29, like you should be if you were getting like +110 versus -110. Oh, what is the $7 matter or something? Yeah, imagine you're betting 5 bets a day for, you know, every day. The end of the year, that could be like $5,000 or $6,000 that you could have gotten paid on the same exact results, on the same exact, literally the same thing happened. And you just took like $5,000 and you just like, but I won all those bets. Yeah, but where's the extra $5,000 you should have? I had a good year. I was up $800. You should be up $5,800. But most of these people don't have good years because they're wagering it to like high hold crap, and typically the wrong way also. So it's like it doesn't even matter. Sean Stenger says 6-5 blackjack is a crime. Well, not apparently. I mean, dude, I walk through casinos. 6-5 blackjack, 6-5 blackjack, and tables. Friday, Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, they were full. They were full, people. They were full. I'm not talking about $10 minimum. It's like, oh, $10 minimum, we'll only give you 6-5. But once you get up to $50, then we'll give you 3-2. I think maybe in the high limit area, they'll give you 3-2. But I saw $25 and $50 minimum tables, 6-5 blackjack. And I don't know how people do this. Yeah, I know how people do that. They're dumb. They're stupid. They're doing it for entertainment. Fine, at least to give you that. Like, yeah, I know the odds are even worse, but what am I supposed to do? I love it. I want to gamble it up. Gamble it up. Okay, fine. But these people don't even know the difference. They're not even looking. Defix, slot machines are horribly worse. Not necessarily. You could go off strip in Las Vegas or something and find, you could find like 98% payback machines in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is very competitive, especially when it comes to slots. But the casinos make so much money on volume when it comes to slots. It's very fast. And there's a lot of them. And a lot of people like playing slots. So, I mean, if you don't have a reasonably loose slots, like people aren't gonna play there. That's the weird thing, superstitiously. It's like, oh, the slots at this place suck. Then no one plays there. And it's like, oh, the slots at this place pay out better. Yeah, yeah. They'll make more money on 3 or 4% just in volume on the slots than they would at any table game. So they don't mind 96% payback, which is better than roulette. Boring. I don't know, I'm a big fan of slot machines. You just had a zombie. But not doing anything. Me sports fan also says, yeah, they don't shop. They don't care. Plenty of resources too. Yeah, they don't care. Dude, people that stop in for this show don't even care. I'm not talking about you guys. People that email me and DM me. Just got started with this or looking at up my game and that. And I explain all the stuff I normally explain, right? And theory of daily fantasy sports. How to think like a professional DFS player. Pick up the audio masterclass 15 hours. Theoryofdfs.com or the advanced player's guide with the custom Excel tools. I'll explain the basic math concepts. Ah, you're, and they shrug you off. Is Vinny Pascatino going to hit a home run today? I'll look at the bat projections or something. I'll go, according to the bat, he has a 22% chance. And they go, well, does that mean he will or he won't? It's like, no, he's like a, it's like 5-1, 4-1, 5-1. So if you're getting paid better than that, go for it. If you're getting plus 800, go for it. If you're only getting plus 200, no, then you don't. Yeah, but is he going to hit a home run? And they don't get it. They don't get it. You guys get it, right? You give me those thummy thumbs. You guys get it. These people don't get it. I mean, I'm on the cruise playing blackjack because I get comps because it's harder to game the comps now. They count the hands now. I mean, an accurate count of the hands. They don't just estimate it. So I don't know how many cheaper free cruises I'm going to get after this. But I did play enough to get my 1,500 points on Carnival. That's really the key. They had 6-5 blackjack, except for the $25 day, which is the high limit table. There's only like three or four people ever at that table. Typically, it's just me and someone else, and it's the same like three or four people. Yet, at the $10 table, those are all full. 6-5 blackjack. There's some jackpot thing that who knows what the hold is on that? Probably 20%+. People are idiots. But even then, I'm sitting at a table with people that like don't even have a concept of basic strategy blackjack. And they play blackjack all the time. According to them, they play blackjack all the time. People staying on 16s against a 10, right? People splitting eights against a 9. Right, so maybe not. No, they're splitting sevens against the 9. I look around. I go, like, dude, you could literally go on Amazon or go to any. Just get the little card, the basic strategy blackjack card. You could get it on Amazon. You could get it on Google. You could download it. You could put it on your phone. Just look at it and just do exactly what it says. You will lose the least amount of money. And if variance goes in your way in a short term, yay. These people are like giving up like 10% of their money because it's just like, dude, what are you doing? You play blackjack all the time and you play that way? You know how much edge you know, you're giving up? Then people are done. Then you have the same person that's doubling down on times that you shouldn't know. Why are you doing this? There was one guy that was doubling down like against any bus card from the dealer as long as his hand was under 11. Now, obviously on 11, you know, obviously you do. I mean, no, he would have a 5. He would have a 3 and a deuce. The dealer would have a 6 and they're doubling down. Like, okay, you go double. And then the dealer wouldn't bust and he's down. I mean, dude, you got a 5. The best you could do right now is get a 16. Like, he's not, the dealer's not automatically busting, like, all the time. Like, how do you not know this? What are you doing? I don't care. Let them play whatever way they play. I ended up making 800 bucks playing blackjack. Just going up and down. I mean, I'm betting minimum. I didn't, just the $25, and that's it. No jackpot, nothing. And then near perfect basic strategy blackjack. Sometimes I error a little. I forget something. You know, some type of like, do I double down on soft 16 against something? Or, you know, like some against a 12, like that type of thing. And I go, oh, yeah, okay. You know, you are supposed to double down here or something like that. So I'm not doing it. Going through. I got a new tweet. New tweet deck is new now. What the hell? They're ruining Twitter. I got the new tweet. I have to get used to it. I've been used like 3 screens, big 27-inch screens in 2.5 weeks. Me Sportsman 101. Oh, okay. We have someone that doesn't understand game theory. Play $25 one time. Dude split 10s against the 6. I had to double down 11, lost, and wanted to take the glass divider over his head. Why? Why do you want to do that? His decision does not matter. Go Google that. I'm not going to spend the time to explain. His decision doesn't change yours. Assuming you're not playing single deck blackjack, it's not going to matter. A&S Comedy, will a casino kick you out if you go to a blackjack table with a basic strategy card? No, they sell them. They actually sell them. Go into a casino gift shop. I don't know how many do anymore. I remember back in the day, you go and you could get a basic strategy blackjack card. They typically sell them for like $5. It's a laminated card. So you could buy, they're fine with it. Because they know that they even if you go exactly by what it's on the card, you're gonna give them like 1% of your money. Which is fine. I mean, they'd rather you do worse than that. You're not gonna beat it. Yeah, A&S Comedy is asking where you find single deck games. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not playing on a cruise, I don't play blackjack to beat it. I just played to get 1,500 Carnival Fun Points. That's it. Get my free drinks. I got free drinks all the time. So yeah, my wife has free drinks and whatever. There you go. But our next cruise will be free again, right? And I get 1,500 points and our next cruise will be free again. It's the cycle of life. Just lose the least amount of money in the process of getting free stuff. Right? Just like DraftKings. You get the DraftKings points. It seems like anytime I get the prize chest. 20,000 crowns. I see people. I think Nerdy Tenor, didn't he get like 70 trillion crowns or something? What happened? The rich get richer. Every time I check my weekly prize chest, 20,000. I think I got 30,000. I see some people, 500,000. Well, when does that happen to me? I don't get it. John Stenger says, don't you need Chris Jericho to be on the cruise? On our next cruise, our second and next cruise. We're going on two cruises in January, right? We're going on the Jericho cruise for 4 days, and then we're going on another cruise for 4 days before that. Because that cruise is free. That costs them nothing. The main cost of these cruises is flying to the port, right? Because we're in Louisville, so we're not anywhere near an ocean. So it's like, we're going down to Miami to go on the Jericho cruise. Let's see if there's a Carnival cruise that ends or starts on the day that we leave or come back on the Jericho cruise. And there was. So it's like it's a 4-day cruise or whatever the hell. So we're going to be flying down there anyway, spending whatever it is, $500 round trip each or something. So why not just get on a cruise that pretty much costs nothing? Right? You get you put $100 down and you get $200 each in credit and that covers the port fees. Next thing you know, it's nothing. It doesn't come out to anything. Interior, as long as you get an interior room. So it's like, okay, there you go. That's my next cruise in January. What have we learned? You should host a cruise of your own. What, the Jordan Cooper cruise? You know, I'm not gonna tell you what ports we go to. We're gonna cruise wherever we want. Wherever we want, we're gonna cruise. Wherever you want to go. It's the wherever you want to go cruise. Right, you get on the ship. It's like, well, what's our part tomorrow? I don't know. There's a 20% chance we port in Belize. There's a 20% chance we port in Cozumel. There's a 15% chance we port in Ocho Rios. There's a 10% chance we port in San Juan. And just said, but whatever you wake up to, that's what it is. And people are like, oh, but I wanted to go to St. Martin. Like, here you go. Is Jamaica. That's just chance. It's probability. Probability. That's what all this is. Probability. And you can learn all about that probability in the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports. The two audio courses, right? I might as well 2.5 weeks gone. Say, hey, if you haven't listened to any of this, you should. Right? Send in your questions. Theory at the theory. Jordan, questions. Whatever. I forgot the email. It all goes to the same place. It doesn't matter. Questions at theoryofdfs.com. I have a bunch piled up. So we'll be covering that next week. Remember, tomorrow, MMA. Right, so we got a UFC card. I think 13 fights? 12? 13, maybe? And we have an absurdly mispriced fighter. I think the cheapest fighter on the slate is the biggest favorite. Jamie Mullarkey. He was supposed to fight, Kutaladze or whatever his name is. Kutaladze dropped out, and now notice replacement. Jamie Mullarkey is like minus 600 and $6,700. Right? I'm assuming Naimov will be 6,600 or something. We'll have one of those types of slates. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Get a nice little first look-see. As always, we have the MMA Grounded Pound podcast for premium members. That'll come out tomorrow. We got all the stuff here for you, right here at Roto-Grinders. Sign up. Get all the projections. Get the ownership. Get the cheeses, the musings for the baseball. Get everything you need for all the sports. Right? Soccer projections, right? EPL won't come back until August, but whatever. You get that. You get everything. PGA? Why aren't you using all the stuff here at Roto-Grinders? Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. So that's tomorrow. So you'll see the red background on the thumbnail that shows that we're talking about MMA. And then we're back. Then James will be back on Monday, right? We haven't done a Monday with McCool in, I think, a month, 3 weeks or whatever. I mean, it was like three Mondays. So like almost a month. Maybe he's dead. I saw him tweet. He's not dead. And then we're back to the questions, right? Just send in your questions. I answer them. Any topic. Whether it be DFS strategy, any sport, using the tools here at Roto-Grinders, game theory in general, sports betting, prop betting, game theory of any type. That's what I talk about here. Hit that the thumbs up button, the like button on your way out the door. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. We got MLB stuff today, right? There's more stuff on the channel, right? Even before you have a Chief. His prize pick stuff, his underdog stuff, right? Take him, pick him, whatever. That's before this show. We got tons of stuff here on the channel. I don't know why you haven't subscribed if you haven't already. And we'll see what happens with this 12 or 13. Is it 12 or 13? I'm not sure. I think it's 13. I'd rather it be 13. We'll talk about MMA tomorrow. And then we're back to a normal schedule. I'm back, guys. I'm back. I didn't get fired, right? I'm surprised. I joked about that the week that I left. It's like I'm going to be gone for 2.5 weeks. So don't DM me and say like, oh, did they get rid of you at Roto-Grinders? Oh, is your show done? Are you dead? No, it's called a vacation. It happens. Right. And I'm not going to stream from my phone from Alaska on a cruise. Right. Ain't going to happen. So, yeah. So give me those thumbs ups. Extra thummy thumbs today. For welcoming me back. And since Steve had to go to a card appointment, I have to figure out how to play the end credits, right? Figure out to play the end credits and end the broadcast so it's not just stuck in a live position. But StreamYard is pretty easy. So I'm going to do that now. And thanks for watching another edition of the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.